time for a little lunch rush action. The top stories trending nationally in the sports world. So let's get to it. Hey, Angel, you've been following the kind of the LIV Golf PGA little fight that they have going on. Former world number one Lee Westwood said he only could laugh at the sweeping changes that the PGA Tour announced Wednesday in response to the growing threat of LIV Golf. He said, "I laugh at what the PGA Tour players have come up with. It's just a copy of what LIV is doing. There are a lot of hypocrites out there. They all say LIV is not competitive. They all point at the no-cut aspect of LIV and the short fields." So, Angel, what is the PGA doing that's so cool?
So some of the changes that they're doing, they are creating a 20-player tournament schedule, which will include 12 elevated events, so majors, stuff like that. But they're also doing a new tech-infused league called the TGL. And this is what they've said, the next evolution within professional golf. And this is being started up by Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. It's basically a mixture of virtual and real golf, all of inside of a miniature stadium almost.
Weird.
The mock-ups that I saw, it's basically a large green and a short chipping practice thing that you would go to a golf course and practice chipping in your short game. And then there's also a large virtual golf simulator. So it's basically these six teams of three PGA players, 15 regular season Monday night matchups on a virtual course with a tech-infused short game complex. And fans can go to these little miniature stadiums and watch virtual / real golf.
Okay. Is that going to do it? Is that going to turn things around for the golf world?
It's just like one of those game shows you see on cable TV. It's just random and it only lasts for a few episodes.
And so Liv's like, "You're copying us." Like, great idea, bro. They both suck. The Kansas City Chiefs did something pretty cool. They honored late Hall of Fame quarterback Len Dawson with a special huddle before their offensive play in Thursday night's 17-10 preseason win against the Packers. Mahomes faced his 10 teammates, huddling in the style Dawson did when playing for the Chiefs in the 60s and 70s. The Chiefs took a delay of game penalty, which was announced over the Arrowhead Stadium public address system, as the number 16, the uniform Dawson wore for the Chiefs. The Packers declined the penalty, and Mahomes came out of the game, replaced by Chad Henne. See, Mahomes did play. He was in.
He's
he checked
there.
In.
Call the play.
Got used to seeing a huddle, even though it was a historic type huddle. Cool story there from Kansas City. Kind of a local connection. This is awesome. Las Vegas Aces Becky Hammond was named the 2022 WNBA Coach of the Year. The league announced this morning, making her the first former WNBA player to win the award in her debut season as head coach. She earned 27 of 56 votes. Is Becky Hammond going to be an NBA head coach?
She's on the track for it.
I mean, she spent so much time with Popovich and the Spurs, and she even coached some of those games. You know, they all have, like, if you watch the NBA, there's always different coaches that have that scout. That's your scout. So you're kind of running some of the offense and things like that. Do it more in college than basketball or the NBA. But she did a lot of that with San Antonio. I wouldn't be shocked, man. And you know what? She would absolutely deserve it. A shot at it. Who knows if she'd be good? But I think she would be perfect for it. Everything that we've heard. Heck of a competitor. Congratulations to former CSU star Becky Hammond. Okay, this one we got to spend some time on. A brawl between the Cincinnati Bengals and Los Angeles Rams forced both teams to halt their inter-squad practice Thursday, the team's final day of joint practices. So they did multiple days of joint practices. This was a big deal. Post-snap affairs, there was a melee. Aaron Donald's like taking dudes' helmets off and swinging them, right?
Yeah, in the brawl as it was going on, there's video out there, you can see it. It looks like Aaron Donald does a Myles Garrett, grabs somebody's helmet off. He actually grabbed two helmets. There's a picture of him standing like the Battle of the Bastards in Game of Thrones with two Cincinnati football helmets ready to go to war, and he got 2-3 solid contacts on whoever he was hitting.
What the hell, man? I'm looking at pictures, and I've got the audio up or the video up right now. Wow. This is insane. And what is Donald doing? He's got the he's using helmets as a weapon in the video. Like, is he the one that's actually bringing them down and hitting people?
Yep. That's big number 99.
So here's the question. Myles Garrett got suspended. How many games did he ultimately get suspended for? It was supposed to be
indefinitely at first.
And then they reduced it down?
I believe it was, I want to say six.
It turned out to be six. I think you're right. That actually sounds familiar. Now, this wasn't a game. This was practice. This is a joint practice. Does this get the same kind of treatment? Because some might say, dude, he's bringing two helmets off and he's swinging them down at people. This has got to be in that same area.
Yeah, so the NFL itself cannot really intervene in this situation because joint practices are scheduled by the teams themselves.
So it's a kind of a private thing.
And my question is, whose idea was it to say, hey, let's get the two teams that played in the Super Bowl to come practice together?
Not a good
idea. Like, there's not going to be some intensity there.
I mean, and listen, a lot of people wanted to see the Broncos, Cowboys have more joint practices. I think one's all you need.
No, and you see this stuff with these joint practices. These guys fight. It's football. They're in each other's faces. It's hot. They're working hard. But to this level of violence and extreme action against another player, the NFL needs to do something about this. Whether or not it's a game or practice, it can't be different because this type of behavior is not acceptable.
Yeah, you have to nip this thing in the bud. And again, I know it's not a game, but it's still a violent act.
Aaron Donald is one of the faces of the NFL.
He really is. I mean, and he's a positive. You see him on commercials. I don't know if that's the end all be all, but businesses vet these guys out. And if they are, upstanding, pretty good dudes, they're going to use him for their commercials. He's on a lot of commercials, or he was anyway.
He's a Super Bowl champ.
Yeah. I love the description, though. Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald wielding a Bengals lid in each hand. What did he... Come on! Let's go! Like, what are we doing here, man? How did you not think that this was going to be a big deal? This is the kind of stuff, like... We can talk all day about the NFL trying to make the game safer. Then there's this stuff that's like, that's a crime. Like, that you're being
that's
a criminal.
Assault.
Yeah, that's assault. You're being a criminal right now, Mr. Donald, so please go away. I mean, again, I know it's people that always say, well, if this were the real world, an angel pulled off some dude's helmets and started running around Greeley swinging them at people, you'd be in jail. Well, it's not the real world. It's the NFL. I get that. But this is, you're right, this is the NFL's individual teams and not the league itself are responsible for imposing discipline. Is Sean McVay got to step in here and try to, because you want to, it's all about like how you're perceived too. You got to win the game in the media, in the court of public opinion as well. Would this be the right move for Sean McVay to step forward or the general manager or the owner to step forward and say, yeah, anybody who was involved in that, to a pretty serious degree. Like, I'm not talking throwing punches and stuff in practice. That happens. I don't think you need to be, but you're taking helmets off of dudes' heads and you're swinging them at people? Did he connect with anybody? Do we know that?
It looks like it. Maybe not head-to-head contact, but definitely hit something. And there's a precedent in the NFL for this. Granted, it's not a regular season game and, whatever that situation was with Garrett, but this is a behavior issue. Regular season versus practice. This is a man taking off another man's helmet, which is supposed to protect them, and hitting them with it.
Rams coach Sean McVay, according to ESPN, said that he didn't want to make a big deal of it and said in some instances it was just two teams defending each other.
Again, fights, brawls, scruffs, like that's going to happen. And then coaches get in there, push them apart. Okay, yeah. Let's get back to this, but this was over the line.
But ripping helmets off and then using them as a weapon? He was swinging the helmets. We know that for sure. Whether he actually connected, we're still kind of waiting to see. McVay said, I just see guys swinging, and some guys have helmets on, some don't. There's a scrum. You just never know what could occur. And my biggest concern is just unnecessary injuries for people that we're counting on, whether it's for our team or the other team. Bengals coach Zach Taylor said, it just got a little scuffly. Be careful there, Zach. You don't want to, scuffly works for now, but you got to be careful. It's your verbiage. here. Taylor said, we just called it. We were in the last practice period. We got two really good days of work. So was it worth getting the extra couple of plays? No. So we called it. I don't necessarily see a huge benefit to having multiple joint practices with the same team. Because I just feel like, what do we always say? Every player I interview here, every coach I interview here, they all say the same thing. We're tired of beating each other up. Can't wait for the real thing. Well, then when you're playing against another team, you're beating each other up, but in a different way. You are against each other. You are trying to beat the other opponent in every way imaginable. So 2 days of that, typically most football settings are pretty hot at this point. You're still in your kind of 80s and 90s. I think emotions are going to run high. Tempers are going to start flaring. Bad things are going to happen. Multiple days of joint practices does not seem like a good idea to me.
Even in these joint practices, there's a level of professional courtesy between these guys. Like, okay, I'm not going to go 110% right now because it's practice. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get you to get hurt. And on Sunday, that goes away in the regular season because you're playing for wins. In joint practices, you're working on getting better.
Look how hard Bradley Chubb went after Ezekiel Elliott. Like, Elliott was actually shocked. You know, Chubb goes at him, busts into him, and then starts dancing. And Zeke's like, dude, hey, come on. And I'm not saying that Zeke was right. This is joint practice. It's live action. You're going. But it just goes to show you that hit could have resulted. And they were going at it, too. Cowboys and Broncos were going at it. That was a very physical practice where you thought maybe some more brawls were going to break out. And unfortunately, they really didn't, to the point of this anyway. But you could see why that could happen. Chubb goes up. You see Zeke starts to let up a little bit. Chubb pops him, knocks him down. And his team maybe goes to his defense. Chubb's team goes to his defense. Next thing you know, you're in a fight. So you can see it happening even on a smaller scale with what we saw with the Broncos and the Cowboys. I don't see the benefit of it. Just go play the damn preseason games. Like, don't have joint practices. Just play a half of a preseason game. What are we doing? I don't even think the idea of joint practices is that good of an idea. Now that I'm thinking about it, you have the preseason. Do you need more preseason than the preseason offers? You bitch about the preseason, and then you want to have joint practices where you got to go hard against each other. Just do the preseason.
Well, in some situations, you have no intention of playing your starters that much. You want to see them get live, semi-live reps in practice against somebody that's not your defense. That allows your coaching staff to kind of work individually. If the defense and offense get separated, you can look at different sides of the ball. But, you know, they're grown men. They're professionals. They're gonna fight. They're going to get in each other's faces. But don't rip the helmets off.
After all of this, wouldn't you agree that this has been the most, like, disinterested, it seems, from coaches and players, the most disinterested they've seemed in the preseason this year, maybe more than ever?
Yeah, and that may just be because we're just ready to get to the season, and that's part of it. But also, like, the storylines that we've had this offseason has just been crazy, and the anticipation, the expectations for all these teams is just through the roof.
So many crazy trades.
Right.
Drama, of course, the Deshaun Watson thing, I think, has been wearing on every NFL fan, executive, player, whatever. That's been wearing on people. I look at this and go, why not just do what the NCAA does? And that's a first for me, because I'm always saying the NCAA should do what the pros do. College basketball, you should implement defensive 3 seconds. You should the same three-point line. Like, the NFL, you should have a better playoff structure. I've always said the NCAA should copy the pros. Or you're just turning it into the pros. Well, that's what they're going to become. Might as well get them more ready. This is the one instance where I'm like, do we need the scrimmages and the preseasons and the joint practices? Or do we just start August 1st, August 15th, whatever, is training camp. And you go 3.5 weeks full on of training camp. And then you get prepared for your first game of the season. Well, they're not hitting each other and all that. I get it, but more and more of these starters aren't doing it anyway. I mean, you saw Patrick Mahomes, and I loved what he did, but he suited up for that reason, for the ceremony of it all, which was fantastic, and I loved it. I hope they do it in a regular season game. I would rather them do it in a regular season game and the team just declines the penalty.
Oh, I was about to say, they should just huddle like that from now on.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
I mean, how much of a difference does that make?
I don't know.
They're behind me rather than we're all in a circle.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember when I was in high school football, like we had to be told exactly where we lined up in the huddle, where our position was. And I get it because you don't want chaos and all this stuff. But I liked how Dawson did it. That was cool. I would very much like to see that kind of stuff come back, which you might see. I don't know. And I'm probably overblowing this, but they're all bitching about the preseason, man. They're all saying it doesn't make sense. We're not going to play our guys. You're not going to see real looks. The only benefit I can really see is that you get hit, that you're taking hits and you're used to real contact. But if your starters aren't the ones in, great. Your fourth string running back can take a hit. But can Javonte Williams? I mean, we know he can, but can he take it this year? What's the point? The fourth stringers got beat up all year, third stringers. But the first and some second really didn't see that much time. So, what are we doing here? Silly. All right, Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Will the Wyoming Cowboys reach a bowl game? Had a comment earlier that said Air Force is going to be the only team in the area that goes to a bowl game. So that's over. Well, if you want to say the area, I guess you're saying the state. So that would be over CU, CSU, and I don't consider Wyoming part of the state, but we're close enough where I consider that in our coverage zone. We have Wyoming listeners. I've had a lot of people reach out, really appreciative of Cody Tucker joining us. We tried to get him on today, but he's on a plane. Got to go cover a football game tomorrow or something. Is that how you feel? Is Air Force the only team in our coverage kind of zone? Which I think Air Force is kind of outside of our zone. That's going to make a bowl game? I think CSU's going.
Yeah, I mean, I think Air Force is the easy pick for that.
Yeah, they're easily 6 wins is nothing for them this year.
CSU, I think they could go into their last game
being close.
Being at 5 wins, trying to get that last one.
Yeah,
and Wyoming, I don't know enough about them from what we've heard.
I don't think
Cody
anybody
Tucker.
Knows anything about Wyoming.
There's a lot of question marks on that team. Obviously with the transfers, the injuries, don't have a quarterback yet. On the road to start against a Big Ten team. It's Illinois, but still a Big Ten team.
And they won 4 or 5, so like a middle-of-the-road Big Ten. So you kind of look at a middle-of-the-road Big Ten and say they could probably beat up on some Mountain West teams. Like if this was Illinois and Air Force is winning that game. Illinois and Boise State, Boise State's winning. Fresno State, Fresno's winning that game. But maybe even CSU. I might even take CSU. I don't know. We have a lot of unknowns, though, about CSU. By the way, we had Rams Weekly last night at 5 o'clock. It airs every Thursday. I team up with the fellas from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire, and we break into all things CSU. I threw Kevin off a little bit. I said, I need you to rank the positions, and I'm working on it. I'm going to try to get it on the whole show page. Rank your positions from your least amount of confidence to the most amount of confidence that you have going up. And I think it'd be very interesting. That was a very fun segment to do. Do you have any guesses? Take a wild guess at the position group that he's the most confident in.
Wide receiver?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there we
you
go.
Nailed it.
I didn't
it.
Even listen.
You don't even need to. You got it right there. There's the gist of it. You can go back and listen to the podcast, Angel. It's available at 1310kfk.com. Yeah, it's the wide receivers. Although, we spent a lot of time talking defense last night. This defense,
we haven't really talked about it. It's all been a Fort Air Raid, but yeah. What's this defense look like?
4-2-5, which isn't that just a fancy word for nickel?
I mean, hey, go up, stand over there.
I mean, isn't that just what it is? Isn't that a nickel? I mean, everybody's saying it's a 4-2-5. Isn't that just your nickel defense? You have 2 linebackers and the rest are all corners and safeties? Am I wrong on that? All right, but
the math checks out.
Well, I reversed it on the show. I messed it up. I was like, they're running a 5-2-4. I was like, whoa, easy there, man. I'm sending all the linemen. So what's interesting is Freddie Banks, the defensive coordinator for the Rams, I can't remember the publication Kevin found this in, but it's a legitimate publication, said that Freddie Banks is like the next up-and-coming head coach somewhere. He's going to be an up-and-coming head coach. So he may only be here for a couple of years, but I do like this. What do you think about this, Angel? He said he doesn't want to blitz. He really doesn't want to blitz. He wants his D-line to control the line of scrimmage and just basically out-man a dude, out-tough a dude, and rely on your corners to cover for those 3 to 4 to 5 seconds that you need to get to the quarterback. Not talking a lot of blitzing there from Freddie Banks.
It's interesting. Is that a strategy or is that his actual...
Maybe that's a strategy.
We don't believe in blitzing.
I don't.
And then 3rd and 13, here comes three linebackers.
Pinning my ears back and we're going. Well, I guess Kevin talked to some of the cornerbacks, which my favorite position in football is corner. I love watching cornerbacks. I think they have... Cornerback's the toughest job, I get it. But I think cornerbacks... It's so you're backpedaling against some of the best athletes in the world, and you have to try to cover them, and the rules do not help you at all. So I'm fascinated to see a good corner. So I'm just in love with Patrick Surtain. But they're all talking to Kevin like, we're aggressive corners. You know, we're tough-minded corners. We want to blitz. We want to get after them. They also talk about wanting, you know, Nevada's defense was pretty good at creating turnovers. And that's what Freddie Banks wasn't with Nevada last year, but he was in Nevada at some point with Jay Norvell, talking about creating turnovers. Most of the time, Angel, don't you create turnovers by blitzing?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be primarily blitzing, but getting pressure on the quarterback, if that's coming from your D linemen or your edge rushers, or maybe you bring a safety down for, you know, coverage like that. But turning balls over, that can be a number of things. Make the quarterback force a throw, get your DB in a good position. Maybe your safety can come down from the top and pick something off. So if that's going to be part of your defense and that's an emphasis of your defense, that's a really good trait.
All this talk, I'm getting so excited.
Almost there, Brady.
Let's go shock the world and beat Michigan. Let's go shock the world and let's just go beat Michigan. What do you think? Go into the big house, Clay Millen, and just go shock the world, shock everybody. All right, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Just 32 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Glad you could be with us here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. It's fun times, man. We started up, we had Rams Weekly last night. We had the Clay Millen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza on Monday. That was a fun show. And I just reached out, and I'm waiting on a text back. It's my own fault because I procrastinated. You know, my old motto was, why do today what you can put off and do tomorrow? And sometimes that bites me in the butt. Hugh Millen, though, trying to get him on, played in the NFL for, what, 10 years? He played for your Dolphins for a second. He played for the Broncos for a second. He does a radio show, KJR AM. He's also on television in Seattle. I want to get him on and not only talk about, first and foremost, talk about Clay. But you know we got to talk about what he thinks of Drew Lock, baby. So I put a text out to him. We'll see. Great write-up in the Denver Post from our friend Sean Keeler. So his dad was a pro for a while, stud at Washington, then an NFL guy. His mom was a model from Lakewood. So...
It's good genes.
It's good genes, man. I mean, Clay's doing all right. He's ready to rock and roll, man.
Yeah, just take that confidence and energy and take it to the big house next weekend.
And go upset the world. Just go. Okay, just dream with me for a second, Angel. Just dream with me. What would that mean for Fort Collins, for Colorado State? I mean, all this talk about conference realignment and putting your best foot forward and shining the brightest light, there we go, on you. And you go upset Michigan. Now again, dream with me. I'm not being realistic here. It would be earth-shattering for Colorado State. It would change everything. they would instantly be, okay, this Jay Norvell guy, he's bringing some buzz to this team. Whoa, this four air raid thing's going to be great. That might be someone we're looking at. Or is Jay Norvell done after beating Michigan? Like, later. I mean, I think it's a 27-point spread. So
I think they can cover that.
Is that what it is? Is it 27?
Sounds about right.
Kevin Lytle was telling me yesterday, a diehard fan came up to him and said, oh, it can't be more than 17.
That's not a push.
I love, you know what? Because it's on the road. Okay.
We'll give him that 3 points.
We'll give him three, but imagine that, though. So what's cool about Clay and this whole setup with Jay Norvell and Matt Mummy, Jay Norvell spent a lot of time in the NFL and college and all this. Matt Mummy, you know, his dad is Hal Mummy, the creator of air raid offense. So Matt Mummy's the son of the air raid. Jay Norvell wrote the book on wide receivers, literally wrote a book on how to be a better wide receiver. I want to read it, but I also find myself going, do I need to read this?
Is it over 300 pages?
I don't know. Okay. Probably.
Might be outside of your limit there.
But it's also, and not just that, yeah, no question, and it doesn't probably have a lot of pictures. Do I need to be a better wide receiver? That's the thing. Like,
I feel like there's some things you can probably learn. If you write a book, there's probably some worth of knowledge.
So maybe we should read it. Do like an Andy Kaufman thing where he reads all... I'm just going to take 3 hours and I'm just going to read.
Chapter 4, Breakouts.
And then Clay Millen's dad was a stud at Washington. And then he played in the NFL for 10 years. I mean, he was a monster, dude, when he played it. So he attended Santa Rosa Junior College in Northern California. He was a stud there. He transferred to the University of Washington after his sophomore season to play under head coach Don James. He came in as a walk-on. He beat out freshman Chris Chandler for the starting job, who later became the starting quarterback and went on to have a pretty successful career. Remember Chris Chandler? And then he was good. So I would love to talk to him. If not today, we'll talk next week. We'll get him on. We got to get him on. Clay hooked me up with the number. Now it's just going to be a matter of if I get a text back. And I'm really hoping that it happens. Look at that. Three guys right there. Your head coach, your offensive coordinator, your quarterback, all have this crazy pedigree of football. That should be a combination for greatness this season. There's zero chance they're beating Michigan. Right?
There's like 0.1 chance. It's not statistically zero.
So here's the thing. You go into it with nothing to lose, and Michigan's scheduled, I think they have another Mountain West team, like right after. So I don't know if Michigan's like taking the non-conference schedule seriously or not. So you catch them off guard, man. That's how you do it. What if first half, CSU somehow scores a touchdown. They go up 7-0. Say they go up 7-0. Michigan comes back, scores 14. We go to the half 14-7. I mean, is there riots in the streets of Fort Collins at this point?
There may be. Maybe a couple of flipped cars or
if you could hang in
trash can on fire. ESPN has them right now at 2.4%.
Better than what you initially thought.
And they do play Hawaii week 2.
Oh. Is that at Hawaii?
No, it's home.
Okay.
Home games to start the season.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't think so. Michigan's not going to go to Hawaii. I don't know. Listen, years ago, how many years ago? I don't remember. Garrett Grayson was going up against Alabama. That was when Jim McElwain was still there. And so McElwain was, of course, he used to be an offensive coordinator for your boys.
It would have been, what, 2013?
Is that long ago?
I know they played CSU in 2013 and then again in 2017.
I think it was 2017.
Okay.
Garrett Grayson, Alabama game. That's what I'm Googling. I think it... Maybe you're right. Garrett Grayson was drafted in 2015. So you're right.
I'm seeing Nick Stevens.
So that was Nick Stevens.
Yeah, 2017 Nick Stevens.
Okay.
Lost to Alabama 41-23.
Well, go back to the first one you said. That was also a closer game. I mean, it was about the same.
2013 was Grayson. Lost that game 31-6.
Then that's not the game I'm thinking of. Was there another time when Garrett Grayson played against Alabama? Was that it? Dang it. I thought I had this right. So it was Nick Stevens then who had the weird... So it was like, I want to say it was 14-7. Maybe 21-7. CSU's driving. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It should be on there with Nick Stevens. It's Nick Stevens. And I told everybody wrong. I misled you. They're driving, and it's 21-7. CSU might, okay, you drive, you score here, even a field goal. Whoa, things are interesting. I'm pretty sure Nick Stevens fumbles the ball. I don't think Alabama returns it, but they score in the next possession, and then you have a swing there, and then it's like 28-7.
See, Nick Stevens was 21 for 38, 247, two touchdowns, two picks.
Do you see a fumble? Am I remembering this all wrong?
Don't see. I see Michael Gallup had five catches for 81 yards.
What the hell, man? This makes me so mad. Okay, we need to take a break. I have to regather myself here and find this. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after 12 o'clock. Okay, we solved the riddle, Angel. We solved it. So I was thinking of, I just can't, I'm getting older now. So I'm like, when you say 2013 with Garrett Grayson, I'm going, that was almost 10 years ago? Are you, no.
I was a freshman in high school back then.
Oh my gosh. Well, I was doing this, a version of this show at that point. And so I was right. I just have no concept of time anymore. I'm one of those old guys where I'm like, you know, just the other day I was driving around and I, you know, got a ticket. And you look at the ticket and it's like 8 years ago. Oh, I guess it wasn't just the other day.
Should probably pay that off.
I should probably pay that off now. Like A.J. McCarron, it doesn't seem like it's been that long ago since he played for Alabama. Were you a big A.J. McCarron fan?
A.J. was like my number one dude.
Like, I thought he would. Is he still in the league somewhere? He's still somewhere, isn't he?
Last year he was with the Falcons and he tore his ACL. I believe he's still rehabbing from that.
Okay.
But he's bounced around the last couple years.
So here's what happened in that game. We determined it was 2013, and I was right in my assessment of this game. Now, again, if this ends up being what happens in Michigan, I think you're very happy.
This was with McElwain, right?
Yes. So, yep, Jim McElwain. And I think, you know, there was some belief that Alabama – that Nick Saban kind of pulled the reins back a little bit because it was his boy McElwain. But, you know, whatever.
I don't remember it that way.
I don't remember Alabama doing stuff like that, regardless of who the coach is. So it's 17-0 Alabama. They were first at the time, right? I don't even know what happened that year. Again, I have no concept of
that. That was the year that they lost to Auburn with the field goal.
Oh, that was a weird, that was crazy
the, they were
year.
Going for their yeah. third straight championship that year.
That was before we had the college football playoffs.
Yes, this is the last year.
That was the last. Lord, thank you, Angel. Okay, so it's 17-0 at halftime. To start the third quarter starts. The Rams go down. I think they get two field goals, whatever. So they end the third quarter. They outscored Alabama 6-0 in the third. Bama's now up 17-6. The Rams get the ball at the start of the fourth quarter. And they're driving. Now, I don't know. I'm trying to look at the yardage, where exactly they were. They were on their own. They were on their own 30, so it wasn't like a great drive. But I think they just got a first down, and you're thinking, okay, CSU's down 17-6 here. They could make this interesting in the second half. That was when Garrett Grayson fumbled the football. And then Alabama recovers it. The very next play, A.J. McCarron airs it out to DeAndre White for a 30-yard touchdown. And then they scored another touchdown. So it's 31-6. But again, if you kind of just look at the way that played out, the Rams had – they were kind – I don't know if you want to say within striking distance, but you go down and score a field goal there, things get really interesting in that fourth quarter.
Oh, certainly. At that point, you have a – possibly one possession game. What would it be, 13-17?
Yeah.
So, yeah, one possession game. If you get a drive together, push down the field, put the pressure on, you can bring that kind of – that same thing can happen against Michigan.
You
it's
would
week
take,
one.
You take 31-6 to Michigan. Would you take that? If you're a Rams fan, are you like...
I'd take like 31-13 maybe. You want to score a touchdown. At least one.
That's true. And I mean, Alabama was number one.
If you're for air raid, I want to see a passing touchdown.
So you got to see it. For you, you got to see a touchdown.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you got to see a touchdown. To feel good about it. Not again, doesn't... What does it mean? But I think you want to see a touchdown from Fort Air Raid against Michigan. Whew! Okay, I'm glad we solved this riddle because my brain was getting... Because they played him again with Nick Stevens and they kept it within... That was Bobo, I believe. They kept it within like 20 or something at the end.
Yeah, that was a much closer game.
Yeah.
I remember.
They scored. They were scoring. Bobo's offense could score. McElwain was kind of the full package. Like, he could do everything. He had a good, pretty good defense... pretty good offense, balanced offense. Bobo was offense. 49 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Don't forget, Football Friday is coming up at 1. We're going to get amped. It's not like we weren't talking football before, but we're ready to turn the page to all things football. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
.12:53 the time. Welcome back to the show. Glad you guys could be with us here on the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Football Friday coming up at 1 o'clock. All things football. This is going to be such a fun hour that we do when we have more things to talk about. We'll hit our predictions at the end. I'm going to kind of break into some of the key games. And look, man. If like Wyoming's falling out and they're 0-4 or something, they're not going to be a big part of Football Friday. Same with... You know, maybe UNC, CSU. We're going to be really focusing on the teams that are making some noise.
Winners only.
Winners only, man. It's the winners only hour. And right now, beautiful part about this Football Friday is they're all winners and losers. They're all right there. They're even. They're 0-0 at this point. So a lot of Wyoming. A little of Wyoming. Definitely Broncos stuff. Definitely Seattle stuff. This is like the Drew Locke thing is the story that just won't go away until it is official. That's what I'm saying, dude. We need to officially close the book on Drew Locke, and I don't think it's officially closed.
No, there's still a couple chapters left to be written, I think.
I think so.
Broncos fans are, whether or not he's on the team, there are Broncos fans out there that are still care about Drew Locke. Whether or not you liked him while he was here or whatever, you picked him in the draft. You got attached to him. You let him go. Let him spread his wings.
Even if you didn't like Drew Locke at all and you were against him from the start, there's still part of you that's interested to see if you were right or if you were wrong. Because one thing I know about Broncos country, you love to complain about missed opportunities. Guys that you missed on. Josh Allen, and again, I understand why, but that is, it's almost like a bad word in Denver because he's so good. Elway had him right there. He fit Elway's definition of a quarterback. Big, tall, strong, can run, cannon of an arm. Even though his like completion percentage wasn't amazing at Wyoming, he still fit the mold. So it's like, why wouldn't Elway, of all the quarterbacks in the world to draft, why wouldn't he take Josh Allen? And he didn't. He passed and took Bradley Chubb. And then, of course, you see he took Drew Locke in the second round and, a couple of years later? Never didn't work out. Just didn't work out. What's Vic Fangio up to, by the way? Does he have a job? I don't think so. I think he's out, man. He's never going to be a head coach again. But the defensive side of the ball was great. And I think that's what we're very interested to see with the Broncos with Evero Ejiro? Or is it the other way around? The defensive coordinator for the Broncos. We haven't talked a lot about specifics on the defense. Throughout kind of camp, it's all been about, lack of running game, lack of seeing some continuity with the offensive line and such. So I'm wondering, just what is this defense going to look like? Because it was very good with Vic Fangio. In their worst of times, they were still pretty good on defense.
To answer your question, Fangio announced back in February of this year that he would not coach with a team during the 2022 season.
He's just taking a little break. I wanted it to work with Vic. I mean, I did. He was funny. You know, he was kind of like an everyman's man kind of dude, you know? Like, remember how big of a deal we made of him meeting with John Elway and George Payton to... Maybe it was after... I think he met with George Payton. Maybe it was before he got hired, but they go to a steakhouse and he orders a burger. And everybody's like, ah, that's the guy. He orders a cheeseburger at a steakhouse. He would... Suddenly, Mr. Tough, you know, Vic Fangio would... Suddenly, Christmas time would roll around and he's talking about watching Hallmark Channel all the time. You wanted it to work. It just didn't. Just didn't happen. So we'll see what Ejiro Evero has in store for us for the Broncos on the defensive side of the ball. 12:57 the time. Football Friday coming up next. Hold on to your butts. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.